The 2020 open enrollment period for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act begins next week in most states, and people are signing up for coverage, even as a lawsuit to undo Obamacare that is supported by the Trump administration works its way through the courts. But as for Republicans who used to campaign on repealing Obamacare, they haven't been saying much about it since Democrats won big in the 2018 midterms on the issue of health care. Joining us now is Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jeremy.
So, you know, you and I have talked about this a million times, but over the years, the Republicans have been trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They've been talking about repealing the Affordable Care Act. This is President Trump speaking in 2016 on the campaign trail.
Together, we're going to deliver real change that once again puts America first. That begins with immediately repealing and replacing the disaster known as Obamacare.
So they've tried, they haven't been able to do it, and they don't seem to be talking that much about it anymore. Did Obamacare survive?
Well, for the moment it has, and Republicans in Congress, still a bit bruised from that unsuccessful fight in 2017, have been talking about other health issues instead. They want to work on lowering drug prices with the Democrats and ending the surprise medical bills that some people with insurance are getting when they get out of network care.
And they've started talking about one of the most popular parts of the Affordable Care Act, which is to protect coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. This is an ad from 2018 in the midterms by then Attorney General of Missouri, now the Senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley. Here he is.
We've got two perfect little boys. Just ask their mama. Earlier this year, we learned our oldest has a rare chronic disease, pre-existing condition. We know what that's like. I'm Josh Hawley. I support forcing insurance companies to cover all pre-existing conditions.
That, of course, is part of Obamacare. Are Republicans still talking about supporting pre-existing condition coverage?
Oh, absolutely they are. But it would be hard for them to do that without the rest of the Affordable Care Act. They've had a bill or two that professes to do that, and analysts have said that it wouldn't really work. Basically, if you're going to require insurance companies to take sick people, you have to have a mechanism for them to cover healthy people as well. Right now, that mechanism is the subsidies that people get, healthy people get when they buy insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
Now, the Trump administration has not been able to kill Obamacare, but it has weakened it, right? What is the state of the act right now?
Yes. Well, the main thing that's happened to weaken it is Congress and passed and the president signed as part of the tax bill, the elimination of the tax penalty for people who don't have health insurance. That was the main thing that insurers thought they needed in order to get healthy people to sign up. It turned out things are doing pretty much okay without it, but it has triggered this lawsuit that we're waiting for that could unravel the whole thing.
And explain that lawsuit. They're suing because if the tax penalty is zero, they say that it's unconstitutional.
That's correct, because in 2012, the Supreme Court upheld the Affordable Care Act based on Congress's taxing power. And these Republican attorneys general say, well, there's no tax anymore, so therefore there's no law. A lower court has ruled that way. We're waiting for the appeals court. So that's a big unknown right now.
Okay, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, let me bring in Jody Ray, who's director of the organization Florida Covering Kids and Families. That's the Navigator program that helps people in Florida enroll in the Obamacare exchanges. And Jody, you direct that program, which enrolls the most people in federal health care of any state, nearly 1.8 million people enrolled right now. How are things going?
Well, I mean, we consistently still see the demand for access to care and coverage. So, you know, it's tough because initially the enrollment assistance component of the Affordable Care Act was designed to provide in-person assistance, particularly since we want to make sure that we're targeting those hard-to-reach and vulnerable populations. And with the cuts to the Navigator program, we just don't have enough bodies, enough humans to get out there and provide that level of assistance. So I think it still leaves a gap in terms of who has access to that assistance and who's still getting into coverage or remaining in coverage.
Well, and tell me more about the cuts to the Navigator program. What kind of cuts are you facing?
So we in Florida, and I think probably states across the country can speak to this, we literally saw at least an 85% cut to in-person assistant support in the state. And so now we're – my organization here at the University of South Florida is literally the only navigator entity in the state of Florida. And so it makes it real difficult because we provide year-round enrollment assistance, those qualifying for special enrollment periods, as well as after open enrollment, we still see people who have complicated situations, so complex cases and appeals and data matching issues. And these are things that consumers really struggle with solving on their own, and navigators are providing that assistance.
Have you been able to find workarounds since you don't have the funding that you used to?
Yeah, it's one of the things that we had to do was as a result, we had to pull in-person assisters out of about half the counties in Florida. And, you know, Florida is a pretty demographically and geographically diverse state, so it's really sad. But what we're doing to try to at least offset some of that is provide virtual and phone appointments. It's not ideal, but this is what we're doing so that anywhere in the state, there are still people that can access that navigator assistance. But anyone who's sat down and look at how complicated health health plans are and health insurance is, if you're not seeing what we're seeing, it's a struggle.
Julie talked about the Republican-backed Congress getting rid of the individual mandate. What's been the impact of that for you?
Well, I think we've been fortunate in Florida in that the demand for access to care remains high. So I think that contributes to the fact that our enrollment numbers have remained high. I know overall we saw as that mandate rolled out from year one because it got progressively higher, it was we had people coming in the door that were well aware of the mandate and the fact that it was going to be more expensive for them to be without insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, because they were going to pay the mandate and have nothing to show for it.
And then they wanted insurance as a result.
Yeah. And so the advantage is that people learned, oh, having access to health care is really kind of a wonderful thing. So they, you know, that enrollment process kept growing and growing. But, you know, we still have new people that become eligible for coverage that may not have it. So, you know, if they're not driven by a penalty, like if it's not offset by some other advantage or disadvantage, they may not sign up.
Now, there's also been more access to so-called skinny plans. Have you seen people opting for those?
Yeah, that's been a little on the scary side, to be honest with you. I've had people come in and bring in those plans. And what I find is that people do not fully comprehend what is in those plans or what they're buying. And so part of the problem is these plans can be like 40 pages long. And they're piecemeal. So I think people don't realize in some ways it's not like insurance in that they don't necessarily have networks. They pay a certain amount for so many visits or whatever the need is. And then they're still going to be on the hook for anything else that that plan isn't covering. And the providers are not under contract to provide services at those rates.
Jody, do you feel like you have certainty at this point that the Affordable Care Act is here to stay?
Well, I think it would be a stretch to say anything is certain. There are things that have gone on that have surprised me on a daily basis. But I think as we've seen the fight to retain the Affordable Care Act in place that has been sort of at a grassroots level, that has been a positive, you know, a positive result of getting more people in. So now they're fighting for something they don't want to lose. Mm-hmm. And I think that tends to be more what the public will do. Don't take something away from me.
Well, and Julie Rovner, what does the polling say about how popular the Affordable Care Act is at this point?
Well, interestingly, it's become more popular since Republicans threatened to take it away. Partly, I think that's the education process. People realize what was in it. They realize for many people who got insurance, as Jody said, that insurance is a good thing to have. For lower income people, there are significant subsidies that makes that insurance affordable. So this is why Republicans are so concerned that health care is still a very large issue in the public's mind and making the Affordable Care Act go away not so popular.
So let's go back to that court case. We're waiting for a decision right now. If the court rules in favor of these state attorneys general and the Trump administration, what would that mean for the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it would just put things in, you know, more disarray and more uncertainty. It would almost certainly not take effect right away. Both sides in the lawsuit have said that they don't want this to be implemented until the Supreme Court has had its say. Mm-hmm. There's a question about when, but certainly it would cast a cloud once again over the entire future of the Affordable Care Act. And plus, the Republicans are having a great time now criticizing Democrats for wanting to do what they call socialized medicine. This would put the onus back on the Republicans, put the Republicans back on the defensive when the Democrats say you're trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act again.
That is Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. And we've also been speaking with Jody Ray, who is the director of Florida Covering Kids and Families. That's the Navigator program that helps people in Florida enroll in the Obamacare exchanges. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, the Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010, so it will turn 10 years old next year, and we are still talking about it.